Hi, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to a message from the People's Church. Whether you listen online, attend our local church, or both, you are a part of our vibrant community. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm from the United States, and I'm honored to be here in Canada, and I've enjoyed every trip here. I want to thank Pastor Brett and Warwick for taking care of me and loving on me. It means a lot to me. I get to know a lot about a church by how the leadership takes care of their people, and you've done a marvelous job, and I thank you for that. How many of you know you have a wonderful leadership team here at the church? Amen? You do. You do. And I see a bright future for the People's Church, and I'm excited to see what God's going to unveil and unpack in the upcoming years. And so, yeah, I'm here. I'm from Iowa. My name's Matt. My wife's name is Pam, and this morning is not about me. It's about you. And the title to the message this morning is, Do You Have a Love Plan? Do you have a real love plan? Do you have a love plan, a plan on how to love? And if you're here this morning and you're young and you're not married, stay tuned in. And here's why. Marriage is coming to you. Yes. It's not that far away. It's coming. And I want you to be ready. And so don't check out on me. And if you're here and you're older and you're not married, maybe you're widowed, maybe you've divorced and you're never going to marry again, stay tuned in, and here's why. Because God is going to send people to you who need hope, who need answers, and who need help. And I want you to be ready to give them hope. But if you are here and married, happy or sad, glad or mad, it's certainly for you. My wife and I left our careers of engineering and nursing to build a national, international marriage ministry. And we've created a very specific way to train a healthy couple how to help another couple. We've traveled all over the world training, and we have thousands and thousands of mentors that are fighting for marriages in churches. And your church is no different. And your leadership team has invested in this for the last few years, and God is moving. And I'll share a little bit more about that in a moment. But marriage is hard, and I want to funnel to you this message this morning on love, on what real love is. And as I researched this, I came across a lot of songs written about love. Think of your favorite song that you like to listen to on love. There's thousands of them. And I came across this guy. He was a famous musician from Dallas, Texas, and his name was Meatloaf. And he wrote a song on love. And I'm reading his lyrics, and it hit me. One should never take love advice from a man named Meatloaf. So let's move on. The truth is, love is not something you're going to understand fully by watching television today. Television isn't going to share with us what love is. A lot of novels that are written or fiction books, romance novels, aren't going to teach us. Hollywood's not going to teach us. It is a fleeting thing today to figure out what love is. And I want you to know that it's already been authored. Somebody already authored it, and the definition and all the details are found perfectly in this thing right here. Did you know that this morning? That God has a lot to say about love. Have you built a love plan in your life that really works? And I'm going to unpack three things for you this morning, and I'm hoping and praying that you're going to remember at least one of them in the upcoming days. And the first question I have for you is, what is love? What is it? How would you define it? How would you put detail to it? If you were to write it down with pen and paper, what would you write down? Is it that emotion that you got when you first met someone and all those crazy feelings? You know, you can't sleep at night and this crazy feeling of infatuation? Is that it? Or was that just from the bad pizza you ate the night before? What is love? I'm 12 years old and I'm with my father and we're spending time with my grandfather, my dad's dad. And my grandfather was an angry man. He was scary. He wasn't the nicest person. And I'm 12 years old, and I'm not quite putting pieces together yet. But I'm noticing that only my father and my twin brother and I are the only three that go visit Grandpa. I don't understand why. I'm starting to see some odd things go on. My mom doesn't come. My sisters don't come. My aunt, my uncle, no cousins ever go see Grandpa, but my dad and me and my brother. And even though my grandfather was mean and ornery and cursed at my dad all the time and showed not an ounce of love, my father would shave him. He would clean his living quarters. He would mow his lawn. He would do his bills. He would pray over him. And he would give his father affection. But his father rejected all of it. And I saw this for year after year. And I finally asked my father at 12 years old, "What's wrong with Grandpa?" And my father decided it was time to tell me that his father abused him physically, that Grandpa abused him, and he sexually abused his own daughter, my father's sister, and went to prison for it. And when he got out of prison, he abused another neighbor's daughter, and he got out of prison, and for some reason, they put all the kids back in the home, and my father was 4 or 5 years old when his father was beating him and hurting him and at times even threatened his life. And my mouth dropped open with shock. And I said to my father, "Then why are you here? Why are you here week after week taking care of this man if he is evil and he's mean and he's hurt you and he's crushed you? Why are we here?" And I'll share his answer in a moment. But have you been hurt this morning? Has somebody hurt you? Has somebody betrayed you? Has somebody let you down? Has somebody wounded you? Maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a child. And what's your plan? Do you have one? Have you looked up the Word of God and said, "Hey, Lord, I need a plan because I don't have one"? What is love? What is it? How do we define it? And as I'm looking closely at this, I started to understand the millennials and the younger generation, the way that they communicate is changing quickly and dramatically. Example, young people average, here it is, 3,200 texts a month. 3,200. The way that we're communicating today is drastically changing. Rarely is it face-to-face, eye-to-eye, person-to-person, emotion-to-emotion. We're electronically building relationships that are shallow and surface. And the idea of what love really is starting to fade more and more and more as technology gets better and better and better. We're heading in the wrong direction. As a matter of fact, as I'm looking, one person, a young person, texted 35,000 times in 1 month. Yell it out loud. Was it a boy or a girl? It was a girl. I think we're having a hard time in our culture today in defining what love is. And as we're changing, we're getting further and further away from what love that God defines, what God wants, His definition. And I want you to know this morning that we're all flawed. We all come into the room flawed this morning. Did you know that? We're all broken. We all have issues. So I want you just to turn to the person right next to you and just tell them this. I have issues. Just tell them right now. Yeah. Don't you just feel better? I mean, we could just end the sermon right here. We all have issues. I have issues. Everybody I know has issues. And so let's turn to the Word of God to define what love is. And if you've got your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Here it is. For some of you, this might be brand new. For some of you, I'm bringing you back. I'm bringing you back to understand what God says love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Did you see that? No record of wrongs. You may want to underline that one. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with truth, and it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and it always, get this, I love this word, perseveres. Real love perseveres. Perseveres what, Matt? Hurt, anguish, betrayal, wounds. Real love is strong. What's your plan this morning? Do you have one? Have you built a love plan? And as I'm looking at these adjectives and I put them in two different buckets, I'm like, okay, I'm going to split these adjectives out and I'm going to make a bucket of what love is and what love isn't. Let me read it back to you in this breakout, and I'm going to first say what love isn't. This is what love is not. Here's what it says. It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking, not easily angered. Stop right there. Real love doesn't get angry easily or quickly. Keeps no record of wrongs, and it does not delight in evil. And as I was putting this message together years ago, and I'm looking at this list of negative adjectives, and it's saying what love isn't, it made me think of someone that I know really well. It started to define someone that I know. Me. It started to define me. That's me. And I want you to look inward this morning, look into your hearts, and as I'm reading this, I want you to start thinking of your love plan this morning. And I want you to know that when Jesus Christ is in you and the Holy Spirit comes in you from salvation, you get something you didn't have before. You get the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to love in a supernatural way. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to love people that you would never have loved before. And then I made a list of what love is. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. It is patient and it is kind. That's what God says love is. And as I've studied it deeply, theologians would break love down into these three words. This is more of a deep look at what love is and what theologians would say. They have agape, phileo, and eros. Agape love is an overall encompassing deep love for humankind. It's like an overall love. And then you've got phileo, which means friend, just a friend, friendships. And then there's eros, which is the erotic. It comes from the word erotic, and it's sexual love within the context of marriage. That's where the passion comes from and the emotion. But I want to talk about a different love this morning. I want to talk about just simply godly love that comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about supernatural love this morning. So let's take a look at it. If love does rejoice with truth, if it always protects, if it always trusts, if it always hopes, if it always perseveres, if it is always patient and it always kind, then love is an action. I want you to grab that this morning, that love is an action. It is a step. It is a choice. Love is an action. I hear it all the time that someone might say, well, I love her even though I'm mad at her. Well, how does your love manifest itself? It's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's an action. Love often, this is my problem, often love is nothing more to us, here it is, than a reaction. My love plan is nothing more than a plan of reaction. Meaning, if you love me, I'll love you back. If you're good to me, I'll be good to you. And my plan is built around nothing more than being a reactor instead of loving those who hurt me and who don't deserve it. And right now, I want you to be thinking of people in your life that you have a really hard time loving. Who are they? What's your plan? Do you want to cut everybody out of your life that's hard to love? You might find yourself all alone because humans are going to let us down, right? Everyone is going to let us down sooner or later. The second thing about love is a series of choices. Again and again and again. Love is an action, but it's also a series of choices. I choose to love. I choose to love. I choose to love. One of my favorite authors has a really good response to someone when they say this: I fell out of love. I don't want to be married anymore. I fell out of love. I don't love him anymore. And here's the thing. Whenever we say that or we feel that we fell out of love, the truth is I didn't fall out of love. I chose to stop loving. I chose to stop loving my spouse. And Dr. James Dobson says this, that if you choose to love, and you choose to love, and you choose to love, get this, your heart will catch up to you. Your heart always follows your choices. Your heart follows your choices. Don't get that backwards. Don't follow your emotions. Don't follow my emotions. My emotions will lead me right off the cliff going 100 miles an hour. Emotions go up and down and up and down. I want to choose to love. I want to choose to love you. I want to choose to love my friends that God put in my life. I want to choose to love my wife. I want to choose to love people, and even when they let me down. What's your love plan this morning? What's your plan? Who hurt you? What's your plan? Do you have one? Or do you feel like a pinball in a machine that is just beating you around left and right? And you're wounded. And you're hurting. And I'm sorry to say this, but sometimes we choose to be a victim. And we create an emotional prison for ourselves. Bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And the third thing is love is a lifestyle. Love is a lifestyle. I remember one time I decided, based on this message and some influence from my father, that I would do this. If you hurt me, I'm going to take you out to lunch. I'm going to take you out to dinner, and I'm buying. If you upset me, there's a free dinner in it for you. Now listen, don't take advantage of that after the service today, okay? And I've had some really awkward dinners and lunches. And I want you to know that when you choose to love people who hurt you, there's no guarantee that relationship will be restored. You want to know what's restored? You. Your heart. And one time a pastor hurt me so deeply with what happened at a church that I was in that I swore on the way home as I was weeping and crying as a grown man. It hurt so much. And I called my wife and I said, if that's how I'm going to be treated by a pastor, I'm getting out of ministry and I'm never coming back again. I just know I'm not going to do it. And my wife met me for lunch that day and she said, honey, no, I'm not letting you walk away from your calling. And about 3 months later, I called that pastor up and I took him out to dinner. Why? Because that's what my God asks me to do. Let me explain a couple things to you. When you give your heart back to someone that hurt it, here's what you're shouting out loud. Hey, God, I trust you. Hey, God, you got this. And you love that person anyway. But when I hold it and I pull back and I cut you out of my life and I go cold and I get hardened and I'm going to cut you out of my life, here's what I'm yelling out loud to God. Hey, God, I don't trust you. I got this. And that's a dark place to be. I didn't take him out to dinner to reconcile the relationship. If that were to happen, great. I took him out to dinner to serve him. And my heart stayed soft. And healed and teachable. And so we talked about what love is. Now let's talk about who you should love. Who? Here's our love plan. First, we identify what love is, and now we talk about who. Who do we normally love? I made a list. Here are the people that we normally love. We love people that love us. I love people that give me what I want. They're good people. I love people that please me, that return my love, that are pleasant, that compliment me. These are the people we normally love. We love people that cause us little to no grief. And usually, that's where our love plan starts and ends. And then I made a list of who is it hard to love. Who is it difficult to love in your life? Do you know? Can you think of their names right now and their faces? People that hurt us. People that mock us. People that take advantage of us. People that disrespect us or they're unloving to us. These are the people that we tend not to love. And if you hurt me, then I'm going to cut you out of my life. That's my plan. But that plan is broken. And I know sometimes in marriage, and I got newsflash for the young folks, marriage is hard work. Marriage isn't always easy. It's a wonderful thing, but it takes work. And I've hurt my wife, and she's hurt me, but we have a love plan that's pretty solid. And I tend to be a hard guy to love. I've got issues. Like, for example, I break things. I break stuff. Accidentally, I'm kind of an accident-prone guy. Reminds me like the day after we got married, I go over to her condo to get all of her furniture and load it up and bring it into our home. The day after we're married, I load up all her furniture, I put it into our trailer. She comes up to me and she goes, "Now, Matt, when we drive across town, drive slow." And she climbs in the trailer and she kneels down and she puts her arms around our furniture so it won't get scratched. I'm like, okay. She apparently doesn't know me that well yet. And I'm driving across this town, a very, very large, busy city, and all of a sudden I saw a Taco Bell, and I got hungry for a taco. The problem is the light turned yellow right at that intersection. Hey, guys, yell out loud, what do you do when a light turns yellow? You. I gunned it. I forgot she was back there, man. All I could think about were those tacos. And I whip it to the left, and I whip it to the right, and the trailer completely became disconnected and passes my truck. She doesn't even know it. She whizzes by, and I'm like, bam, hold on. And that thing slammed right into Taco Bell. It came to a jolt, and then she gets out, and then I get out, and then we exchanged words. And then I go in and get 3 tacos and a Mountain Dew. And I'm sitting there all by myself looking out the window at my brand new wife shaking her head. What did I just marry? I want you to know that marriage is a lot like that. We all have issues and we put it into our piece of luggage and we don't show it all before we're married. Who would do that? And we bring it into marriage. We're like, hoo doo 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 doo. And after marriage, we get it out. Zip, zip, zip. Look, honey, this is the whole me. And sometimes that brings conflict and hurt and anguish. And sometimes it's real and it's raw. What's your love plan this morning? Do you have one? And if you're not married yet, are you building one? Are you ready for some trials in your future? And do you have a plan? Because my Bible tells me what love is, and then it tells me who to love. Let's take a look at it. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says this. This is who I should love. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says this. But I tell you who hear me, here it is, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here it is. If you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? This is the word of God. What credit do I get at loving you if you're loving back to me? None. Zero. It goes on to say, even sinners love each other. There's a point to be made here that even pagans and sinners and evil people that don't know Jesus, they know how to love each other, which is meaningless. And then he goes on and repeats himself. He said, if you only do good to those who do good to you, then what credit is that to you? None. None. Even the sinners do that. He repeats himself twice. And here it is again. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting, and be kind to them. And here it is. Here it is. This is the payload moment. Then, when you love those who don't deserve it and hate you and hurt you, here it is. Then your reward will be great. and you will be the sons and the daughters of the Most High. What's your plan this morning? Do you have one? You take all the people in your life that hurt you, and the Bible used the word hate you, which is sometimes your spouse, if you're just being honest, right? Sometimes we go through love and hate marriage, right? Is that just being real? Marriage isn't always love, 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 love. Sometimes marriage is hard. So what's your plan? When you feel the hate or the anguish or the contempt from your spouse, do you love them anyway? And I'm going to call a time out here for a second, and I want to speak to the young folks. If you're here this morning and you're young and you're not married yet, I'm going to ask you to make a promise to God this morning. I'm going to ask you to make a promise, and I'm going to start with the young girls. The promise I'm going to ask you to make is that no matter how good-looking that guy is going to be, and no matter how wealthy he's going to be in your future, or how popular, if he doesn't know Jesus, walk away. Walk away. And young men, I don't care how pretty she is, and I don't care how popular she is, and I don't care if her perfume knocks you off your feet. If she doesn't know Jesus, walk away. That's right. Why? Because I want you to marry someone that knows Jesus and has a supernatural ability to love you on the days you don't deserve it. Like my wife. I come home sometimes, and I know I've hurt her, and I might have said things I shouldn't have, and I might have sinned against her in the way that I acted or what I said, and I've walked in my home. You know what she's doing often? This just happened not long ago. I walked in the house. She was reading the Word of God. That's my wife. She loves me anyway. She loves me anyway. When I hurt her, she turns to the Lord, not her flesh. Not a girlfriend who says, get out. She turns to God. And that's why I want you to make that promise this morning. What's your love plan? Do you have one? And then we go into the third piece. Let me wrap this up. So I want you to love those who love you, but I want you to love those who hurt you even more. This is your plan. I want you to love those who love you. Of course, I want you to love them, but I want you to love those who hurt you even more. I want you to love those who deserve it, but I want you to love those who don't even more. This is the litmus test of love that God gave us. The litmus test is not found in how you act to people who are good to you. The litmus test is found in how I act to people who aren't. And I wish I could stand up here and say, hey, I always do a really good job. I don't. It's hard. I came home from work one time and Pam was working in the flower garden with a shovel digging a hole. And I said, hey, honey, I'm home. Yoo-hoo. And she wouldn't even look at me. I knew something was awry. Hey, honey, it's me. And she wouldn't even give me the time of day. And it irritated me, and my flesh wanted me to act out in a certain way. But I didn't. The Holy Spirit gave me a supernatural ability to love her in that moment of my own pain. And I put down my briefcase and I walked over into the flower garden. And as I looked down at the hole she was digging, I'm like, oh my goodness, 6 by 6, that's a... See, I'm about this tall, she's about that tall. And I took the shovel out of her hand, not because I was afraid of her or anything. And I said nothing and I brought her into my chest and I held her. I shut my mouth and I held my wife. That's my love plan. Shut mouth, hold wife. You might want to write that down. I'm surprised a woman didn't go, amen, brother. Hey, by the way, it works both ways, right, men? Shut mouth, hold husband. Is that fair? Is that fair? Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. What's your plan this morning? Do you have one? Are you hurting? Are you hurting because your love plan is broken? Are you hurting because you don't have a love plan that keeps your heart soft and teachable and pliable and healed by the Lord because you're guarding it? So let's go into when you should love. When? We talked about what, we talked about who, now we're going to talk about when to love. And here is when we normally love. We love when we're in a good mood. We love when we're happy. We love when we're reminded of the holidays or in the holidays. We're all in love. When we come to church, we're always full of love. Think about that for a second. Put on our best clothes, put on our suit and tie. We all look nice. Grab the kids, throw them in the car. Scream and yell all the way here. Get into the church. Oh, hi, everybody's so good. I love you. You're so nice. That happened when I was a kid. I would see my mom do that. I'm like, what just happened to her? We need to have an exorcism this morning. It's what I call wearing a mask. We wear masks, don't we? We put on the smile. But the truth is, inside we're wounded, we're hurting, we're crushed. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting to wear a mask. It's exhausting to try to make it look like everything's okay when it's not. And I want you to know that that's why this church exists. It's for us to be real, to bring it all to the altar, and to bring it all here and open it all up before the Lord and let His people and the leaders of this church help us find healing. That's what the church is all about. It's being honest. These are the times we tend to love. Here's when it's hard to love. When I'm hurt, when I'm tired, it's at the end of the day, you're exhausted. It's when you're taken advantage of by someone. It's when you're mistreated. It's when your wife uses a harsh word. It's when your husband is unloving. It's when you found out there was some deceit. It's when you come home and you had expectations that weren't met. It's when there hasn't been intimacy for months, if not years. These are the times it's hard to love. Or maybe you have a parent or a father or a child who tried to end and terminate their relationship with you. Hey, they walked away from me. It's not my problem. Not long ago, I was golfing by myself while I was traveling and preaching. And I was in New York, and I got done preaching, and I had a few hours to kill, and so I go golfing by myself, and I just got paired up with one guy. I never met him before. I didn't know him. And we spent the first 9 holes in a golf cart together, and here's what he told me. He said, Matt, my whole family cut me out of their life. I haven't seen my kids in 15 years. My kids have kids I've never met, all because of my divorce. And my ex-wife turned them all against me. And you know what he said to me? Good riddance. And then he looks at me and he goes, so what do you do for a living? Let's see here. Let's play another 9 holes. And I challenged him and I said, brother, I want you to call up your kids today and repent. I want you to throw your heart back into your family. I'm going to challenge you that you have created this prison for yourself. And you can't blame them. Your kids were little when you got divorced. And you can fight for your family. You can fight for relationships. You can fight for them because they matter. You done picked the wrong guy to golf with today. And he sat there and he wept. And I don't know how it ended. And I never saw or heard from him again. What's your plan this morning? I would like you to fight for the relationships in your life at the same level of passion that you would hope they would fight for you. We can't blame them. Aren't you guys glad that Jesus Christ fights for us? Aren't you glad that he loves us when we don't deserve it? Aren't you glad that his grace and his mercy and his love for us is poured out upon us when we don't deserve it, when we're having a bad day, when we've hurt him and we've abandoned him and we've betrayed him, yet his love is still there in its fullness. Amen? So how in the world can I receive all that from Jesus, but I'm unwilling to give it? I'm unwilling to do it. The last time I was here, many of you might remember my story about my mom and my dad. My mom left my father for her lover. I wasn't born yet. I learned this later on in life. Here's what my dad said to my mother. He was a fairly new Christian, and he said to her on her way out the door, "Take however long you need with your lover, and when you're done with him, you come back to me, and I'll love you all the days of your life." And he said, "I'm going to stand on this." And all his friends and family are like, "Divorce her, you deserve it, you have the right." And he said, "No, I got a plan." What's your plan this morning? You have one? And about a year later, she comes back and she knocks on his door. My two sisters existed at that time. My dad opens it up, and there she stood, weeping and crying and broken and repentant. And he brought her into his chest, and he held her, and he loved her, and he forgave her. And they stayed married 60 years. That's a love plan. My father had no idea that he would have four more sons, one of which is me, and one of those sons would train marriage mentors all over the world. Because of his love for his wife. He didn't know that. He didn't know that his love for his wife would yield this. He didn't know that. And neither do you. You don't know what lies ahead for you. You don't know what miracles lie ahead for you. What's your plan this morning? I didn't say it would be easy. I just said it's powerful, it's fruitful, it's amazing, it's God-breathed, it's miraculous, it's life-changing. I never said it would be easy. Who do you need to forgive this morning? Who has hurt you? So I'm 12 years old, and I asked my father that question about his father. "Hey, Dad, why are we here? How in the world? Why are you with Grandpa? Why are you so kind? Why are you so loving?" And he sat me down, and he literally opened up the Bible with me and my twin brother, and he read these scriptures, and it said, "Honor your mother and your father, and all your days will be wonderful and rich and holy." He said, "Matt, God has called me to honor my father, period. That's it." And my grandfather died about 7 or 8 years later. And I remember as I was at the funeral and my father had a couple tears running down his face, I looked at him at the funeral of his father's death and I said, "Dad, what are you thinking right now? What are you feeling?" And he looks at me and he says, "I'll never know what it's like to be loved by a dad." And I hugged him. And I said, "Dad, I'm so glad. I'll never wonder." I want you to know that when you choose to love those who hurt you, it allows you to love your children. It allows you to love others. It takes you out of the land of being in a prison, and it puts you in the land of freedom. And my father lived a free life of loving, and he was not a victim. He was not wounded. He allowed God's love to flow through him, to me, to my mother, to everybody around him, because he forgave. What's your plan this morning? Who do you need to forgive right now so that you can live? I want everyone to pull this card out if you can in front of you in the seats. If you're here this morning, pull out the Connect cards. If you need a little bit of help in your marriage or you need a lot, I want you to write your name on this Connect card, your contact information, and write on it, "We need mentored." There are couples in this church that are waiting to get you in their home to help you with your love plan. They want to help you build a love plan. All I'm asking you to do is to put your name on it and turn it in. That's it. And the benevolence fund on the way out the door, as the ushers just put it right in there, everybody do it so nobody's noticed. There'll be no embarrassment if you're here and you know you need help. Put it in there, sign it, put it in there. If you're here and you have a healthy marriage and you're like, Matt, I want to fight for marriages. I want to help this church help other people. Then I want you to fill it out and write on it. We want to be mentors because Warwick is going to provide a marriage mentor training that we've created. He's going to provide one in the next month. And if you're here and you want to help other couples, sign it. Either way, I need help or I want to be a mentor, sign it. Turn it in on the way out the door. And I'll also meet anybody out in the foyer with a book that I wrote and some other marriage developing tools that I have at the end of the service. What's your plan this morning? Do you have one? I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to ask you to do something right now. If you're here and you're married and you're with your spouse, I'm going to ask you to take them by the hand, not right now, but in a moment. But when you take them by the hand in this final prayer, I'm asking that it is a sign of you saying to them, honey, when I slip my hand in yours right now, it's me saying, I'm sorry for everything. And it's also me saying to you, baby, that I forgive you for everything. It's a new day in this moment, and I want to love you like God says. And as you slip your hand in hers, and she slips her hand in yours, that's what you're saying. Let's bow our heads. Father, as couples all across the room are taking each other by the hand, I pray that your spirit fall. I pray that your power fall. I pray, Lord, that your love plan fall upon them, that your love plan become their plan. Father, I pray that they have courage to sign this card and say, hey, we need help. Father, I pray for these marriages because it could be that miracle after miracle, Lord, just fall upon them because of what they chose to do this morning. I pray for Pastor Brett and the leaders in this church as they lead. I rebuke Satan from division in the home and in the families and in relationships in this church. Father, we lay all this at the foot of your cross. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the People's Church. Our desire is to proclaim the Word of God and to see lives transformed. To find more like this, or if you'd like to contact us, visit thepeopleschurch.ca.